Hi, everybody. The Complex PTSD Guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to share a couple things. So in a couple episodes back, I had mentioned that today is April 5th, something really big happened in my life today, and I knew it was going to. It was something planned that I wasn't sure how it was going to go, and it ended up being much, much, much better than I could have possibly imagined it could have been. And so were some other people in my personal life. Things just went much more smoothly and amazingly better. So again, I told you guys I've had a lot of really wonderful positive things happen in my life, and just people doing really nice things for me. And, you know, it almost feels like it's just this amazing amount of good energy or something. You know, I just feel like something's going on. But today just turned out to be way better than I thought. I was extremely worried. I was extremely stressed out, not knowing what would happen. So today was really good. Let's just put it that way. And I'm very thankful for everything I have. And I think it's a really good starting point for me to really save up money and be prepared in case I'm ever in a similar situation. I will never be in a situation like this again, I can tell you. Again, I'm being vague here because I'm not going to share the specifics of this on this podcast because it's so personal and it's really outside the realm of mental health and complex PTSD. This is something else. This is a different type of personal matter. But I just had amazing news today. So yay. Yay for me. And somebody asked, you know, what happened? And I said, well, I found out I'm the luckiest boy in the world. That's how I feel. I feel like Peter Pan flying around in the air right now. So I feel like I won the lottery, literally. And I did actually go out and buy a lottery ticket. I bought a Powerball because apparently it's like the highest it's ever been in years or something. It's over $1 billion. It's like $1.3 billion. So I bought a ticket, and if I win or don't win, I already feel like I won. So, I wanted to share a couple of things, getting into my real talking point here. So whenever I talk to you guys about that book that I came across as part of my, you know, my own reading New Year's resolution of learning new things, I came across a book called The Novel Cure. And I said that I was pretty much done talking about it, but I was surprised there was one thing I didn't mention to you guys. And that is, I never went over what an abuser might find in this book. So I decided to use my own abuser. And again, I don't name who they are, but I call them my primary abuser. And I've told you guys, it's my personal opinion, I think that they have Munchausen. Not Munchausen by proxy, but just Munchausen, where they hurt themselves. And I kept trying to figure out, you know, and I'm very surprised I didn't look it up in here, you know, what would be the novel cure for them. And so I went back and I rechecked out that book. And I went through it and went through it and went through it. The first thing I went to was lying. So if your ailment is lying, you know, what does that say? Because to me, when you have Munchausen, it's fictitious disorder is what it is. You're faking something, right? You're lying. But lying ended up not taking me to what I was looking for. And again, I'm very surprised by this book. The book, again, is called The Novel Cure by Ella Bertaud and Susan Elderkin. And the copy that I have has little blue vials on it, like little blue medicine vials. And it's a book about your ailments, and then they recommend novels for them. But the book is very specific, whereas, like, let's say that there's somebody who drives you crazy in your life and you want to try to understand them or figure them out or see, you know, why might they be this way? Let's say a bully, because this book has the word bully in it. If you're being bullied or if you are a bully, And the detail they go into as to what the future may hold for a bully and what your drawbacks might be if you are being bullied, they're very specific and they're spot on. Like, I'm stunned. I'm literally stunned by this book. This is also a great book if you have brain fog and your mind is just constantly bouncing around trying to figure things out, and you can't figure out why you do certain things that you do, and it drives you absolutely mad, maddening. I mean, these are things I've struggled with for 20 plus years, and I feel like I'm getting amazing solutions out of this book. It's just mind-boggling. It's the book you can always go back to. I recommend just buying it. But one of the things that it didn't even occur to me to look up, you know, because I was thinking Munchausen, lying, all these different things. And again, this is regarding my primary abuser. One thing that I know for a fact about them is that they were abandoned. They were abandoned by one of their parents. And I know that that's a huge thing. And a lot of people who are abusers have that in their background. And a lot of people who aren't abusers have it too. But I know that abandonment's just a huge thing. And abandonment actually did not take me to what I was looking for, which I was a little bit surprised, but there was another thing that was similar to it that was being adopted, and which I found interesting because my primary abuser, I would say that, you know, they were taken in by a family. Let's just put it that way. So in a way, it's like that. It's like being adopted. And adopted led me to being different. And that really rang a bell for me. So one of the ailments in this book is called being different. And whenever I was reading through that, it said, also see being foreign, being put off by hype, being feeling like you're left out, and being an outsider. And I have to say, for me, myself, being different and being an outsider are two things I relate to a lot. And it really made me think, oh my gosh, this is a very unique thing that I happen to have in common with my primary abuser, because I absolutely think that they feel different. They feel like an outsider amongst their own town folk, the people in the town that they live in. I think they feel like an outsider within their own family. I think they feel like an outsider amongst their peers. And I feel that way too. So I will say I have this in common with my primary abuser, being different and being an outsider. And there are some interesting little points about this. There are some things about, let me think if I can find it here. But there are some things about sort of like being drawn to actual foreigners. So like, let's say you live in a town and you feel different. And let's say a family from India moves to town and there's no other people from India that live in this town. So they are truly foreigners. And you're drawn to them. And I would have to say this is very true for my primary abuser. They are drawn to people who are absolute foreigners. Very drawn to them and very welcoming to them. And I'm that way too. When someone is a very specific, is very different. When someone's very, very different and they're not sort of fitting in, I'm very drawn to that. And I will be like super friendly and nice to them. And I always have people point out to me, you aren't like the other people here. And I'm like, yeah, that's true. And they always ask me, well, why is that? And I always tell them, I don't know why. I don't know where it comes from. I'm just different. You know, I just see things differently. Because I, even in high school, people used to say, did you grow up here? You know, like, are you from here? Like, if there was a kid who came to my high school from another town and we just got to talking or whatever, they'd be like, you don't seem like you're from here. And I'm like, no, I'm from here. My family's lived here. Like, both sides of my family had lived in the town I grew up in for over 100 years. But people from out of town would always say that. They're like, you don't seem like you're from here. And, you know, maybe we just follow to the beat of our own drummer. Or maybe it's just that I was raised by someone that felt like an outsider. you know, so I will say I actually found something that I had in common, which was, wasn't expecting to find, but again, I found all these amazing things in this book. But I wanted to get to something specific because I was determined to find, this whole thing about this Munchausen. So what it ended up being that I ended up finding was, again, this is in this book, one of the ailments, it's called being a pain. Like if someone is a pain, so you're like annoying basically, but being a pain. And then it said, see being antisocial, see cynicism, see grumpiness, which is that querulousness I've talked about, see humorlessness, which I have to say, a lot of people who are abusers absolutely struggle with humorlessness. They're sharp edged, right? They can't see the light of day. They're humorless. They're pissed off people. Another one, see hypochondria. So that's where I knew I was on the right track. Being a pain, see hypochondria. Because the person who is my primary abuser is absolutely a pain. They are a complete pain in people's side, like every day. They're grumpy and they're rude and they're miserable and they're, again, humorless, but they're such a grump. It's a pain to be around them, and they gripe and they get into arguments with everybody. They have querulousness here. See querulousness, neediness. And one, again, that relates to me, see misanthropy. So a misanthrope, right? That's what I said I am. So, you know, all these little similarities here. But then the big one that I discovered in regards, again, this is in regards to Munchausen, the main one that they had in this book, it said man flu. So man, and then the word F-L-U, like you're sick, a man flu. And then it says, see dying and hypochondria. So the man flu is like somebody who's constantly sick. I'll read just a little bit here. Infinitely worse than regular flu, and not to be confused with the common cold, which is hard as the symptoms are identical. Man flu is a miserable illness, not just for the victim, but for all concerned. Bed rest is essential, and the patient, indeed victim, which they put in quotes there, victim, is probably more apt, will require a great deal of sympathy. You got that right. That's absolutely Munchausen. And they might not mean Munchausen here, they're, you know, but man flu is very similar. The victim should be propped up on soft pillows and provided with mugs of tea, heating pads, meals on tray, the remote control, messages of support and commiseration from family and friends brought to him regularly. Visitors to his bedside must take great care when making conversation to stick to the subject of the victim and his suffering. Do not venture into matters pertaining to the outside world or indeed the domestic, as this will agitate the victim and prevent him from focusing on his suffering, and so begin the long journey back to full health. But it's a, and then they go on to say, our cure regarding a novel is Victor Hugo's classic novel of human torment and suffering, Les Miserables, Les Mis. And I thought that was funny. So they, the reason they recommend that book is because it will help the victim to find patience and stoicism to endure his enforced inactivity. The most pernicious cases of man flu have been known to incapacitate for up to a week. So what I'm talking about here is long-term, years-long man flu is what I'm talking about. So they're saying that they will find something relatable about this Les Mis, because it's, I've actually never seen Les Mis. I've heard a lot of people talk about it, but apparently it's about a lot of people suffering. I think it's the French Revolution, which I actually studied in college a lot and wrote about, but I've never seen Les Mis. So I'm going to watch it tonight, by the way. But I just thought, man flu, I would never think to call it that. But again, you see, I found something, a huge, huge aspect of something that actually have in common with my primary abuser. So, I mean, this book is fascinating. Like I said, I can't recommend it enough. The Novel Cure by Ella Bertelt and Susan Elderkin. But again, I just wanted to share that I I'm going to go over a few other things. I'm going to try to find specific types of abusers for people with complex PTSD. So maybe people who hold people captive, people who, you know, almost like a prisoner of war, people who put people through long-term suffering. So I'm going to try to find things in that book to talk about types of abusers, and then I'm going to come back on this podcast and talk about it. But this alone, you know, to know that I have something very unique in relation to my primary abuser, the being different and the kind of feeling foreign or being an outsider, absolutely, I have that in common with them, for sure. But anyway, I just wanted to also report back so you guys aren't worried. My things that I found out today, I'm just truly thankful. And I feel like the luckiest guy in the world. And I feel like I have won the lottery. So there you go. This is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.